Well, let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and return just that passage. We're working out of that Mark chapter 10 passage, and we haven't gotten real far. We have with God, and we've been talking about with. So anyway, today we're going to talk about a life with God. Mark chapter 10, if you will, please. Again, I appreciate you being here this morning. I appreciate not letting the cold get you down and keeping you away. And it's warm in here. I'm already sweating, so I don't know if I need to open the door for me. But don't get scared. It's not, I won't do that to you. Mark chapter 10. I'm going to read just a few verses, 23 through 27. Of course, you have the rich young ruler came, and it says, what must I do? You know, what some deed I can do to inherit eternal life? And he says, well, you've got to keep the commandments. Well, I've done that all my life. So, well, I'll tell you what I want you to do then. He said, I want you to sell everything you have, and give it to the poor, and take up your cross and follow me. And he left. And it's interesting. By the way, we've been kind of dealing with this on Wednesday night out of Matthew, just kind of the way it worked out here. But he left because it says he had great possessions. What a terrible thing. He left very sorrowful because he had great possessions. I tell you what, if possessions get in your way of your walk with God, better get rid of the possessions. If they're getting in the way, sometimes they can just be a weight that so easily besets us. And you need to be careful with that. Anyway, he says in verse 23, and Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Well, why would that be? Verse 24, and disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto him, now listen to me, children, the kids, let me tell you something. How hard it is for them, here it is, that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Why is that? Because he can't get past all that he has. He can't bring himself to the point that he needs to trust God. He thinks he can trust himself. And the world says that all the time, and we think we've got it all worked out, and we've got all our ducks in a row, we've got it all handled, and the fact is, you need God. Do yourself a favor. Don't wait for God to slap you on your back before you decide you need him. Now, he will, because that's what's good for you. Listen, we can only rise as high as man can rise in our own strength. But you'd be surprised what God can do if we'll simply put ourselves in his hands. Don't wait until you're slapped down on your back to seek God. And he says, they were astonished. And says, then who can be saved? Verse 27, and Jesus, looking upon them, he said, now look, boys. Watch. With men, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. We've been talking about the with part, the with God. And this morning we're talking about a life with God. Just want you to get a glimpse. That's all we're going to have tonight, have this morning here, but a glimpse of a life with God. You know, if we were just walk with him, I think some people say, well, that it all just sounds fine. And that sounds real dandy, but this is reality. You can't live like that. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So I want to give you a little bit more of the Word of God, hoping you'll get the faith to let yourself live that life that God wants you to have. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that you even want to bother to be with us. But Lord, you said we will draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh to us. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll help me be a blessing to these folks, an encouragement to them. Lord, there's probably some folks who are under the weather. Pray, Lord, take care of those needs. And, of course, Danielle just had her baby, and she has some recuperating to do. Be with her and little Michael. Pray, Lord, you'll be with all that's going on in our family here, our church family. And there's probably physical healing and even hearts that need to be healed and thoughts and emotions. And, Lord, just do a great work. And, Lord, help us to get our eyes on you here this morning. Instead of living underneath the circumstances, may we come to the realization that all things are indeed possible with you. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit will move, because without you it's not possible, but with God it is. So here again we ask for your wisdom, for your power, and you speak to our hearts in Christ's name. Amen. Question. Are you living with the riches or are you living with God? Now, if we're not careful, it sounds like the riches are better. It's kind of like, I'm not sure what else we can do. I guess we better pray. Well, has it come to that? It should have came to that at the beginning. Living with God is better than the riches of glory. Now, sometimes he does put us at a point where he's going to stretch our faith to see if you're willing to see. Some people say, they're not really living with God. What they're looking for is to say, I'm going to toss God a bone over here. I'm going to make it look like I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to make it look like I'm going to fast from my sin this week and see if God will bless me. And if he doesn't bless me, then I'm going back to what I was doing before. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes, I've been living. No, have you? Because you see, if you seek him with all your heart, you shall find them. You can't pull the wool over God's eyes. You can't pretend to live with him. You can pull the wool over our eyes. You can pull the wool over your neighbor's eyes. You can even convince yourself, I'm all right. I did this and I did this and I did that, so I must be all right. Listen, there was probably, this was a Valentine's weekend. And I'm sure there were a lot of couples who they got together and they were tickled to death to have to spend the evening together and so forth and so on. But my guess is there was probably some couples in the world said, it's Valentine's Day. I guess I better go do something for the wife. We're going to blow $50 on her dinner tonight. Oh, yeah, I got it. If I don't get her that rose, you're gonna have a hissy fit. And so you get the rose, and you call her to the dinner, and you take her out to dinner. Dear, here you go. You might be able to fool her, but God knows who you are on the inside. And sometimes we do the same thing to God. We play up to him. But in our heart, we're just trying to keep him off our back. Those that live life trusting in the things of this world, whether it's the world's power or position or possessions, will find that life is bigger than they are. Life as it should be, whether it's our physical life or our spiritual life, the way for life to be as it should be is impossible with men, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. The Bible is very clear that with God, all things are possible. With God, nothing is impossible, because nothing is too hard for God. And we spoke about the attributes of God. God's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He can do anything. He's eternal. He's always been this way, and he's immutable. He'll never change. That's a mighty God. We spent some time on that a few weeks ago, but do not lose the concept. Anything. Listen, if you ever come to a point where you say, I'm not sure God can take care of this, but I will. Think about the idiocy of that statement. Usually because God doesn't want to do it because it's not good for you. You just don't know that it's not good for you. And we want to do it because, God's not going to do it, so I better do it myself. If God doesn't want to do it, maybe you shouldn't do it yourself. We're going to get out on a limb where you don't want to be. We saw God's character. God is love. He's love. He does not hate you. He loves you. He tells us to love our enemies. And you say, you know what? I haven't been real close to God here recently, so I better watch out. Listen, he still loves you. Even if it was so bad he considered you his enemy, he still loves you. He died for you. And listen, if he sent his son to die on a cross, go through all that just to save your sin, he's not going to toss you away on a whim just because you messed up. Can you imagine God the Father telling God the Son, I know you paid for Sterling's sin, but you know what? And I know you paid for the ones until the day he dies, but the fact is I'm just kind of fed up with it, and I don't care whether you died for him or not. He's going to hell anyway. I don't care about him anyway. I don't love him anyway. And Jesus said, what do you mean? I spent all that time on the cross. I carried the weight of his sin on me. And you're going to throw him away after. You see how absurd that is? God loves you with an everlasting love. If he didn't love you with an everlasting love, then why in the world would he send his son to die on the cross? He that spareth not his own son, will he not also give us all things? Who can separate us from the love of God? God's merciful because he's loving. He's truth. You confused? Any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. He wants you to know the truth. He wants you to be free. He gives you the truth. He's righteous. Well, I don't know. I think sometimes God just gets mad. He just kind of smacks me around. It's not righteous. He may chasten us as a father chastens his son whom he loves. But he's righteous about it. He's holy. You want to walk with God? Well, then we need to be ye holy even as he is holy. So, well, I can't live that right. No, you can't. You'd be surprised what you can do when God lives through you. And when he lives through you, mess up. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and lets us live for him again. His mercies are new every morning. With a God like that, all things are possible. You're not stuck where you are. The past can be the past. The future is still the future. The Christ is still alive. He sits on the throne making intercession for us. He's our mediator, our advocate. With a God like that, all things are possible. But the next question is this: are we with God? Are we walking with this gracious and powerful God? Now, first of all, are you saved? That's the gift of God. In fact, that's what it's talking about here. You want to get saved. It's a gift of God. It's not of works as any man should boast. Do you know for sure if you died to go to heaven? We're all sinners, bound for a devil's hell because of our sin. Our sin separates us from God. It wasn't that God wanted to get rid of us. It's that we didn't want to put God in our life. And once we die, he that is righteous shall be righteous still, and he that is filthy shall be filthy still. The decision is made, and if we decide we want God out of our life, then once we die, God's not in our life for all of eternity. And so what's the opposite of God? Hell. But God said, I'll save you from that. He sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross and pay for all our sin. He cried out that it is finished. It's all done. It's all paid for. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, so that's the first step to walk with God, to get him in your heart. But even when he's in our heart, back to Valentine's Day, you might live in the same house with your Valentine, and that Valentine's not in your heart. Live in the same house, but you don't have the same heart. We can do the same thing. God can live in our heart, and he's got his own little, we kind of put him in a little room, kind of push him off to the side. Now, okay, I'm going to heaven. I really appreciate it, Lord, and I'm going to go to church and give my nod to the things that are going on there, but I got some things I want to do, and I kind of want to do them my way. Now, if I get in trouble, I'll probably come back and see you, Lord, but right now, I walked past the teen room this morning. It was a big bunch of kids in there. I'm sorry. There's a large assembly of young adults in the teen group. I'll get this right. In the teen group this morning. It was great. And I walked by, and I didn't know they were even in there. They weren't making any noise at all. They were there. You couldn't tell. I couldn't believe it. And they were all smiling. They weren't mad. They just weren't making any noise. It was the craziest thing. You would never know they're there. Some of us live as if God's not there. We got him stuck in our little room, packed off the side here. We don't care. We don't want to hear him. Now, Enoch, he walked with God along the same pace, behaved himself. He was conversant with. He was continually with. Dr. Hiles tells a story about he was riding in a car with Dr. John Rice, the one who began the sword of the Lord. And they were driving along in the car, and they were going to a meeting. And Dr. John was driving, and Dr. Hiles, what? Dr. John said, I didn't say anything. After a while, what? And Dr. John turned around and said, I'm not saying anything. Said, I've heard you say, you said something. He said, well, I wasn't talking to you. He's heading to a meeting. He's asking for God's power. He's looking for God to do a work. He wants his hand on him. Listen, that's part of walking with God. Conversant. Do you talk to him? Do you realize he's right there? This sounds funny, but for a little while, I kind of needed, and this I wasn't praying to myself, but I know my heart's here, right here somewhere, and I know that God's not really in your heart, in the muscle of the heart, but we know it's in the core of who you are. And for a little while, some years ago, I just kind of imagined myself, he was right here. And when I prayed, I wasn't praying to myself, just like, the Lord's right here. I wanted to get the sense that he's right there, that close. And I would spend some time praying, almost imagining as if he was right here. But he is that close. He is that close. Enoch walked with God. He had a kind of rendezvous with. He hung out with God. Hung out with him. Walking how? That word with means nearness. Nearness to God, right by him, beside him, among him, up against him. Almost like two lovers. Right there. He's my bridegroom. Close to his heart. And if we want to claim the promise of all things being possible, we must meet the prerequisite of being with God. If we are with God, then we need to be with God. We cannot say we are with God and wander off and still claim the promise. All things are possible for God and all things are not possible for men. For with all things, if for all things to be possible with men, then men need to be walking with the one of whom all things are possible. Like Noah, even when nobody else would. Noah would, and he found grace. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We need to find grace. Remember, walking with God is more than just religion. We cannot be walking with God if we're not walking where God walks. We need to walk where God walks and not walk where God does not walk. And walk in the light and not in the dark. This is the world's dark, God is light. It's not the same thing. It's not that difficult. To walk with God, we must be steadfast with God. On again, off again lives do not work well. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We will get ourselves in trouble wandering off. We cannot say that we're walking with God when we just happen to pass by him from time to time. A couple times a week. We can't walk with God and be wandering off at the same time. And every time we wander off, we're not walking with God. And a lot of things, I've mentioned this before, a lot of things can happen during those wandering times. We also learn that walking with God is not something that is beyond anyone's reach. You can walk with God wherever you are in life. There are to be no worries about this, no excuses. As the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. Abide therein, abide with God. God's no respecter of persons. He'll walk with you. Now, as a child of God, we have the right to live with God. God is wonderful. He's powerful. He can do anything. He is loving. He's merciful. A father who's willing to allow his sinful children to walk with him. And we just need to forsake walking with our sinfulness and forsake the darkness and walk in the light as he is in the light with God. And all things are possible. Nothing is impossible. The question is whether you're walking with God. Now, today, I want to simply take some time and give you an inkling of what a life with God can be like. I think many people look at the Word of God and the promises of God as fairy tales, pie in the sky. I think some folks think it is just idealistic thinking that's pontificated to try to encourage us to move forward in the flesh. So they like the sound of the doctrine, but they do not really have faith that it can be enacted. I think others are willing to accept the facts, but believe that such a life is outside their reach or outside their ability to live, and it is, but not with God. We dealt with that some last time. Now, I think some folks never seek to live a life walking with God because they do not know what it really means and what a life like that will actually produce. Let me give you number one. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you will. We're going to keep your Bible handy. I'm going to move fast. Number one, we'll talk about laboring with God. Laboring with God. If we are going to get anything eternal accomplished for God, we're going to have to labor with God. You say, well, you're talking about serving in the church. Maybe. How about eternal in your own soul? How about eternal in your household? How about having a marriage that actually senses the presence, the mercy, the love, the graciousness of God? A household that has that. A workplace that has that. If you want to accomplish something for God, we need to labor with God. We can exert much time and finances and energy and still not accomplish anything of lasting consequence if we're not laboring with God. You try to raise your kids without laboring with God, all you're doing is putting your thumb on the Coke bottle and shaking it up. And when they get out from underneath your house, poof, everything's going to explode all over the place. You don't know where it's going to go. We've got to do this with God. When you talk to your children, does the Holy Spirit talk with you? Talk through you to them? They may not like it. They're in the flesh. But listen, you know as well as I do that there's been times when you've heard the Word of God spoken and you sat there and think, well, I don't like it, but it's probably true. And down the road, a few years later, finally it stuck. Same thing goes with your teenagers. They may look like they're not paying any attention to anything. Now, if they're young adults, it's a little different story. They listen to you. But they're teenagers, and they just... has nothing to do with age, by the way. They're looking for truth. But teenagers, even teenagers, may not sound like they're looking at anything, may not be paying attention, but you live it. You're just trying to put on the dog. It's not going to work. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 3, 1. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, and I'm not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you," listen, "envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walkest men?" In other words, if there is envying and strife and divisions, then we're not laboring with God, because God does not walk in darkness. He doesn't live that way. "Well, I told him off in Christian love," of course. No, you told him off in the flesh. "Well, I gave him the right hand of fellowship in Christian love," of course. No, you fighting in the flesh. "Well, you want me to be one of these mealy-mouthy, little, sweet-talking, you know, wimpy Christians?" I'm not saying that. I'm saying stand your ground, stay firm, but speak the truth in love. It's not your job to force them to do anything. It's your job to teach them, to train them. Now, you may have children. You may have to say, okay, this is what we're going to do, and here's how we're going to do it. And by the way, you young families, start it as soon as that baby's born. As soon as that baby's born, you don't let that baby, just because they're cute, don't let it take over the house. Love it. Train it if you love it. He says there in verse 4, he says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers of whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God." You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. So he says your labors together to work, to toil in a deed while being in union with, in association with, in companionship, together in the process, the same instrumentality in the common possession, a common purpose, a common process, possessed by the same power. We are to be one with each other because we're one with Christ. And we are in tune with one another because we're in tune with God. And we can accomplish great things for God, eternal things, valuable things, when we labor together with God. Listen, if your home's a lot of strife and confusion, this kind of stuff, only by pride cometh contention. There shouldn't be there. Are ye not carnal? There's strife and divisions and yelling and listen. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Well, that's all I ever knew. That's what we listen, that's just the way it was when I grew up. Okay. But it's not so to be, not be so with God, not with the body of Christ. Listen, when you got saved, you want to get out of that mess. Let's not continue that mess. Well, so I can't do that. How am I supposed to change it? The power of God. Well, how do you get that? By walking with Him. Stop, listen, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That he should be like a tree planted by rivers of water, to bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You want to prosper in your home? Do it God's way. Walk with Him. How's that? Well, right here He tells me, I'm using my Bible for a roadmap. That's how I'm going to live it. Well, it's going to take some work. Is it worth it? Or would you rather just fight and fume every day, all day? Well, I'm not sure I'd know what it would feel like if everybody got along. We laugh, but there's people who say, have no idea what life must be like if there isn't arguing and fussing and fuming all day long. That's just what it is. Isn't that life? There's some people who want drama. I don't want drama. I am not bored not having drama. In fact is, when I'm not wasting my time on a lot of drama in life, I can get other things done. That's a value, eternal value. Listen, it's not just trying to keep a lid on everything. It's like saying, no, I want to produce something that's godly, that brings glory to God. We're laborers together with God. We can get a lot done if we're all with God. Because then we're going to be with each other. Number two, there's power with God. There's power with God. Stories told in the Bible where Jacob, means supplanter. He was kind of always just out trying to get his own way, doing whatever he could, you know, just kind of conniving and scheming and so forth. And Jacob had done his share of scheming. And of course, if you know the story, he got himself in trouble with his brother Esau, and kind of took advantage of Esau's weakness. He didn't steal the birthright. He sold it to him for a bowl of soup. That was a steal. Yeah, it was a steal, but he said okay. But he caught him at a bad time. And in fact, if you go back to the Old Testament, the Bible says if you find your neighbor's cow, you need to go, and it's out, it's lost, you know it's your neighbor's cow, get the cow and take it back to your neighbor. To not do it is a sin. You know whose it is. Do right by him. And he knew his brother was having a hard day, and he was tired. He said, I'm going to die if I don't, die of starvation, you know. Duh, he wasn't going to die of starvation, but just how we allow the flesh to get the best of us. He said, well, I don't know what else to do. So he sells his birthright for a bowl of soup. And then a little later, Jacob does kind of go in and steal the blessing that goes with the birthright. And he made his brother Esau pretty mad. And Esau says, I'm going to kill that boy. As soon as daddy's gone, he's toast. And so Jacob's mother says, you better head out of town, get out of here. So he goes out of town. Well, he did. He kind of pulled a few things there where he got his wife at Uncle Laban's place, and he's heading out of town again. He said, well, I'm going to go back home. If I go back home, I'm going to run an Esau. And what am I going to do when I run an Esau? I'm a dead man. I'm a dead duck. I don't know. Listen, there's no way out. You ever been there? No way out. I blew it. And I deserve not having a way out. Jacob deserved not having a way out. But that night, he sent the rest of the family across the river Jabbok, and he stayed on the other side. And he had it all figured out. Now, I don't really like this wife. And so then her kids really aren't that important to him. So we're going to put them out front. And then the next one, you know, the next favorite behind them. And, you know, if he kills them, at least I'll have some left. I'll know by that time it'll be a buffer zone and we'll hightail out of town with the one I really like. I mean, still flesh. But a man came and wrestled with Jacob that night, which I believe, Peniel, that means it was if he saw the face of God. I think the pre-incarnate Christ said, we're going to get something settled here right now, Jacob. You're a dead man, aren't you? Yeah, I'm a dead man. Well, and it says in Genesis 32, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not, Jacob wasn't getting anywhere. But the fact is, sounds funny, watch this. The man who wrestled with him says, he saw that he prevailed not. It could have. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So this guy just kind of and puts his thigh out of joint. Now, if he could just go and put his thigh out of joint, he could go and you're gone. And yet, he says he wrestled with him with his thigh out of joint. And he said, this guy who wrestled with Jacob says, let me go for the day is breaking. He says, you better stop. You got a big day today. You better get some sleep. He says, no. He says, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, which means a prince with God. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men. And has prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou ask me my name? You know who I am. Wherefore is it that thou dost ask my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. You say, so he out-muscled God. No. That's the whole point. God, if he can zap his hip and get him, and mess up his hip, he could have zapped the whole thing and messed up Jacob. Jacob knew that. And he says, oh, my soul, I'm fighting with God himself. I need the blessing of this guy. I need God's blessing. And he said, you know what? I'd rather fight with God and have him kill me than have to face Esau. In fact, I'm going to fight with God and get the blessing. I'm going to hang on to God until he blesses me. Why? Because with God all things are possible. He says, if I could get God's blessing on me, maybe I can face Esau and save my neck. And sure enough, God apparently had already done a work in Esau's life, and they met face to face, traded gifts, and at least they didn't leave each other enemies. There's power with God. Are you willing to seek God with all your heart and not let him go until he blesses you? How determined are you to make things possible? How determined are you to make all things possible? Because, listen, with men it's not possible, but with God it is. So how determined are you to get with God so that all things can be possible? Nothing is impossible with God. And if you're too, listen, well, you know, I don't want to bother God with my little problems. He's too busy to be bothered with my problems. Your view of God's too small. He's not too busy to be bothered with your little problems. He wants your problems. That means, listen, he can take care of all the world and you too. To not believe that God can do that is to not believe that God is who he says he is and what he says he is. In fact, to not take all our needs to him to pray without ceasing is to call God a liar. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. God doesn't take kindly being called a liar. If you truly want to please God, then trust him with everything in your heart, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Hebrews 11 says, by faith Enoch, who walked with God, was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, who walked with God when no one else would, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, who was called a friend of God because he believed God. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went, to walk with him. Well, I don't know where if I walk with him, where's it going to take me? I don't know, but it's okay because I'm with God. And I've got a God who loves me. And I've got a God who's merciful. And I've got a God who's bigger than your daddy because he's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient, eternal, immutable. He's God. Where's he going to take me? I don't know, but it's the best place to be with God. Number three, there's victory with God. There's victory with God. Story of David and Goliath. And then the old Goliath was making fun of them and said, you're sending me a little shepherd boy out here. And David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. What did he say? I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thee head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. I think it's a safe place to be walking with him. He's going to give us the victory. You know, Judges chapter 6, the story of Gideon. Gideon was having a hard time. So we've been told that God is going to do these things. Where's this God? Where's this God? And the angel shows up. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. You talking to me? He says, Gideon, the Lord is with thee. And Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. And thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. 1 Corinthians 15 says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You got a problem? It may be a physical thing. It may be a spiritual thing. It may be a personal thing. It may be an emotional thing. God says, I'll give you the victory, but you got to walk with me. Walk with me. Do what I tell you to do. You can't be walking with him and wandering off. You go to a grocery store. Now you say to the kids, now stay right here with me. And then we go wandering off. Before long we look around, where's mommy? And then we get scared. But I'm a big boy. I know how to do this. In fact, I'm so big, I'm going down the cereal column and see what the cereal aisle and see what the goodies are in the box. We're like that. I'm such a big boy, I'm going to go wander off here and see what the world has to offer me. And wander off from the one who loves my soul, who gives me life, protects me, and then we wonder why we get scared and in trouble. We want the victory. He's the victory. Number four. And I'm going to go through these real fast. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but I just want you to see some things here. Number four. There are some things that are impossible with men, but are possible with God. Jonah had messed up big time. What did he do? He ran from the Lord. Finally, God slaps him flat on the back inside a whale's belly. What's he say? I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And Jonah, the old whale, spits him up on the seashore. Victory. He was in the belly of death. I mean, he was dead. He was a dead man. Whether he actually was physically dead or not, I don't know. But if you were in the belly of a whale, I think you'd think you were a dead man. If you're dead, you're not thinking. You know what I mean? That was a joke. Anyway, salvation. I'll give you another one. Love is of God. When we walk with God. Jeremiah 31:3 says, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Watch this. The love that you desire to have in your life, to really, really, truly feel loved unconditionally, that's from God. If mother and father forsake me, the Lord shall take me up. But you're not going to sense if you're not walking near to him. But let me say one other thing. The ability that you need to love that person that just drives you bananas, that's from God too. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You don't get to know God if you're not spending some time with him. Personality. Don't stand here and say, well, I'm just feisty, it's my personality. So am I. That's my personality. Phew. Temper. Just here. I hate to say, a few of you gotten a glimpse of it from time to time. You ain't seen nothing. My wife hasn't seen a whole lot. She's seen a few, but not, she's never seen what I'm capable of. And the same thing goes with you. But you know what is not? You know what is not impossible to have the fruit of the Spirit. With men, it's impossible. But if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I will walk in the presence of God, walk with him, do what he tells me to do, that as time goes by, that fruit of the Spirit starts to develop. And if I'm walking in the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if I walk in the flesh, I will not produce the fruit of the Spirit. They're contrary one to the other, to the other, that you cannot do that which you would. If I'm walking, there's times when I get so frustrated and like the Holy Spirit goes, stop it, Sterling. And no one knew. The conflict was here. And the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and says, stop it, Sterling. I'm going the wrong way. I'm not doing the right thing here. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faith. Listen, we can hold message on every one of those. That's what we need. You know, listen, I was talking to my wife this week. You want to have a seminar on how to have a good marriage? Walk with God and walk in the Spirit and start producing the fruit of the Spirit. It's not about saying, well, stop doing that because it irritates him. If I love him and I know it irritates him, I'd stop. But even if I goof up, the one I irritate, if they're filled with the Spirit, they'll forgive me when I goof up from time to time. It's that give and take thing. It's not impossible to have the relationship that God wants you to have. It's not impossible because with God, all things are possible. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Sure. Victory over power of sin. Over the power of sin over Satan. Jesus rebuked the devil, and remember they came out and the disciples couldn't do it? And Jesus came down and he rebuked the devil and he departed out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples of Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Why could we overcome this? Listen, you fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. You thought you were going to do it in the flesh. You should have been up here walking with me. For I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say on this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not forth, but by prayer and fasting. Matthew 17. Go back and look it up. What's he saying? Nothing is impossible with God. But prayer and fasting, what's that? Fasting said, I'm going to get away from the world, and prayer means I'm going to get close to Him. You want to see God do something, get away from the world. Fast from that stuff. And get close to Him. You pray, trust in Him. He says, God can give you the victory over the power of Satan himself. One more. I know we're late. You came out in the cold and we'll give you a full dinner. Here we go. All right, ready for this? Things that are possible when we walk with God. Peace is of God. You know why I think we like to watch little babies sleep? It's about as peaceful as you can think. Not a care in the world. And besides that, they've stopped crying. But they're there. It's fine. They're innocent. They don't understand all the troubles. You know, the fact is, we don't understand all the troubles. I know somebody who does. And I know somebody who can take care of them. That doesn't mean that he won't say, okay, Sterling, here's what we're going to do. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. You want to get your marriage right, Sterling? We have a fine marriage, but I'm using me, so I don't use somebody else. You have a fine marriage. You want to get your marriage right, Sterling? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to stop this. I want you to confess this and start doing this. Yes, sir. It's that simple. We can have a peace. Jesus said in John 14, 27, in the midst of all that Holy Spirit speaking about the Comforter coming, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. By the way, to leave someone comfortless, the idea is to leave them as an orphan. God doesn't save you and drop you off at the doorstep of the world and let the world raise you. You're His child. He adopted you. He says, listen, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I would love to think that one day I could just get things right with God. You can. being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4 says, now rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your self-control, your moderation be known unto all men. Why? Because the Lord's at hand. Well, he is if you're walking with him. But wait a minute. If you want to walk with him, you've been not walking with him all this time, but you want to, he's right there. You know what I'm saying? He's right there within reach. The Lord's at hand. Be careful for nothing. Stop worrying. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, goes beyond the circumstances, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, many folks have a difficult time believing that nothing is impossible with God. And they have not seen much in their lives that they can attribute to the hand of God. They feel helpless in their sin and hopeless in their situation. But they're refusing to be with God. When I say refuse, he offers. If you don't take it, then you refused it. They're waiting for God to show himself before they're going to be willing to be with God. And God says, if you want me to show myself to you, you need to be with me. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust and that war in your members? Ye lust, ye have not. Ye kill, and ye desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight, and ye war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask, receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, why aren't we getting where we need to be? He says, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Who you walking with? Who you spending time with? Who are you listening to? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us right here, lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resist the proud, but giveth grace unto humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from. Stop trying to get God's hands off of yours. I want to do it by myself. God, get off my hand. I want to do it myself. No, you're going to take his hand. In fact, you know what you ought to do? Say, here, take my hand. And don't let go. And what's it say? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. Get close to him. And he'll draw nigh to you. Well, how do you do that? Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. There's power with God. There's victory with God. There's salvation with God. There's love with God. There's peace with God. There's a new life with the fruit of the Spirit with God. And to be with God, we must be willing to walk in the light. Can't walk in the darkness and light at the same time. Walk where he walks. A life with God. Father, thank you for speaking to us here this morning. May we just get a little closer. Get a little closer. Maybe some folks need to make some big decisions. They've been trying to slide your hand off of theirs for years. Maybe they need to stop doing that. They need to submit themselves to you and actually draw nigh to you. And Lord, you said you'll draw nigh to us. Lord, speak to hearts. We need you to do your work. Please, Holy Spirit, move. Our heads are bowed.